Do you want to know the difference between Botox and dermal fillers? Do you want to know the difference between thread lifts and facelifts? Do you want to know the reasons some people choose to improve their appearance with aesthetic medicine? What makes our patients and our doctors tick? Hello, and welcome to Aesthetic Medicine Uncovered. My name is Simon Ravichandran, and in this series of podcasts, we will be talking about what aesthetic medicine actually is, the procedures that we offer, what we do, and why we do it. I hope you'll find it interesting, and I hope it answers some questions you may have. This podcast is produced by the Clinetics Group, Scotland's leading multi-award-winning aesthetic medical clinics.
Hello, I'm Dr. Simon Ravichandran.
And I am Dr. Paula Mann. Good day to you, Simon.
Good day to you. It's been a long one, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Seems long.
But it's Friday and we're here now.
Yeah.
And we actually have a staff day out.
Are we going to use this podcast to talk about our weekend plans?
We could do.
I think we should.
Because it's a good plan.
Because I'm done talking about aesthetic medicine.
Yeah, we work hard in the clinic and the training academy and all of the staff have a well-deserved day out, not even a night out.
If I had hair, I would be letting it down.
That's very big of you.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about cutting edge, bleeding edge, the sharper edge than bleed, whatever that sharp edge is. Ultra state of the art, ultra new, what we're doing in our practice and what we're doing globally. So what's the latest stuff?
Good, because patients frequently come in and say, "Hi Paula, what have you got for me?" You know, they're ready. What's new?
Well,
they
today.
So what have we got?
Okay, I think we can talk about sort of the biostimulatory process and regenerative medicine. I am doing some really, really exciting stuff with botulinum neurotoxin. I'm doing some really super exciting stuff with scars, and we're just kind of scratching the surface of that. So let's talk about botulinum neurotoxin.
Okay.
Right, the good old-fashioned Botox, which obviously isn't Botox anymore, by the way.
I was going to say, how does a patient know what botulinum neurotoxin is, though, Simon? What does it mean
to
them?
Because whenever I say botulinum neurotoxin, I usually say Botox at some point within a minute or so, even just to help remember. We don't use Botox, do we?
No, that's very badly behaved of you, because Botox is a brand
Botox
name.
Is a branded drug, and we do not promote or advertise branded drugs. But Botox is kind of the word that people understand as what we refer to as botulinum neurotoxin. And there are a number of brands available in the UK. So I guess that's kind of cutting edge, isn't it? Because the number of botulinum neurotoxins has suddenly massively increased. Okay, mm-hmm. We used to have Botox, Boca Chor, and Azalur. Now we have Letybo and Illusience and
Evolus.
And one or two others, I think. Daxxify is on its way. And we're looking very closely. We're running a clinical trial, a head-to-head comparison, looking at the differences between these neurotoxins just to see if there's any tangible, quantifiable difference from our perspective and from our patient's perspective. So we're keeping a very close eye on that. We're running the only head-to-head clinical trial in the world.
In the world.
In the world.
Congratulations. And it's an important thing though, isn't it? Because how often do patients ask, just to segue a little bit, as new drugs come out, they're aware of it, and then they say, you know, will this last longer? Will this be better for me?
Yeah.
And so far, the answer is no, because botulinum toxin is botulinum toxin.
So far, the answer is they're all the same.
Yeah.
But there's going to be subtle differences. There has to be subtle differences. We don't know what they are. They're intangible at this point in time. But so far, they're just the same. So we'll watch that space. That's ultra cutting edge for maybe, I think it's going to be a few more months before we've recruited the final.
And we have known that botulinum toxin really is an amazing drug, you know, in aesthetic medicine and medicine generally. So how has your practice changed even in the last few years with how you use botulinum toxin and what you're using it for now?
So there's been a lot of research coming out of Korea. Looking at the we call them novel indications of botulinum toxin. Okay, so we've got the standard approach. Let's start level one, botulinum neurotoxin, three areas. This is what everyone learns how to do on day one. They spend 10 years getting really good at that. Then we do things like botulinum neurotoxin for off label indications, facial areas still. So you can use it to treat the other muscles in the face to improve the aesthetic, but to affect the dynamic appearance of the face. And I tie that in with a lot of work I'm doing on emotion and empathy, a lot of research in how we interpret facial expressions, how the body responds to facial expressions in the people that we're looking at, and how we can modify and soften our own facial expressions to reduce, for want of a better word, harsher facial expressions or negative facial expressions, and enhance positive facial expressions. And the reason we do that is to improve emotional health, improve empathy, because it makes our patients happy.
Isn't that amazing? So by not being able to make negative expressions, the feedback on the brain is positive?
Yeah. Yeah. So not removing the expressions completely. Absolutely not. We need to maintain control over the muscles, but weakening or softening negative facial expressions.
Isn't that something we, if we listen carefully, our patients say? They don't say, can you freeze my face? Can you, you know, stop my eyebrows moving? They say, oh, I can't wait to see you. I'm so glad I'm seeing you today because I feel rubbish. I really need to get this treatment because as soon as I get it, I feel better. And it's not just about how they look.
Paula, I had one of those moments a couple of weeks ago where I nearly cried with a patient, told me the story. I think she was in her 70s, first time presenting. In the conversation that we have, she said that when she was a child, like preteen, teen, everyone used to say to her, why do you look so sad? Cheer up. Why do you look so sad? I'm like, well, that's a common thing. It's a very common complaint. A lot of my patients, you know, say this, and this is a problem. But she said she used this word, haunted. She said that had haunted her whole life. She said, she's 70. And she's now, that has psychologically affected her, socially affected her, emotionally affected her entire life. And that's so sad. I wish she'd come to see me 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, it's massive. And I know, as you do, that the inventor of botulinum toxin as a treatment, when he found out what it could be getting used for, said, oh, that's great. It's a bit frivolous, you know, but it just isn't the impact.
That's the late, great Alan Scott, wasn't it? Yeah, that's a nice idea, but it's a bit frivolous.
But imagine you told everyone who gets their botulinum toxin treatment every few months, oh, you can't have this anymore, it's too frivolous. They would be emotionally devastated.
We treat emotional health.
Yep.
We don't treat vanity.
Yeah, and you see it all the time. Yeah.
So this is what I've been lecturing for about the last 2 years, doing a series of talks on facial expression, micro expression, botulinum toxin, and how it's really important that we consider the facial expressions of our patients in a wider perspective. So I'm talking, what job does that person do? Are they front facing? Do they speak to people? Are they able to communicate effectively? I'm talking about young mothers with young children who actually need to make negative facial expressions so their children can learn them, because we know that a child who is not presented with the appropriate facial expressions kind of gets a confused neurological programming to start with, and it's a very good chance that they could develop with a reduced emotional intelligence.
Oh my goodness, isn't that something to add to mother's guilt?
Oh, sorry. Your children are doing okay, aren't they, Paula?
I didn't. Yeah, they were grown up. I left it till they were a little bit bigger and has established some true emotional training before.
Yeah. All right. So emotional stuff. What else am I doing with botulinum neurotoxin? Okay, the Korean stuff. The intradermal injection. So injecting into the skin. Botulinum neurotoxin does not just affect motor nerves, so nerves that go to muscles. It affects a lot of different things, both peripherally, which is where we're injecting, and centrally. Did you know, Paula, that the botulinum neurotoxin can get absorbed by a sensory nerve, not a motor nerve, a sensation nerve, but it can also move from the end of the nerve terminal all the way back to the ganglion in the brain?
I did not know that.
And
amazing.
It can have effects indirectly that way.
There's so much we don't know. It's such a powerful, amazing
it's incredible,
drug,
isn't
it? Potential, yeah.
Anyway, so it has a multitude of effects, one of which, or many of which, will have an improvement on the physiology of skin, which means we can globally improve skin health, reducing pores, reducing redness, reducing vascularity in patients with rosacea, smoothing the skin, some potential evidence towards reducing pigmentation disorders or helping towards pigmentation disorders in skin. So we've kind of taken this approach, and again, with one of these things, we've got a research trial ongoing looking at pore size and oil production in the skin. But from a therapeutic perspective, we're using it as management of acne-prone skin, oily skin, erythematous skin, skin with a lot of pores. So for skin improvement, and there's techniques of doing this that are very, very effective.
So if we take this academia and patients are listening to us talking just now, what sort of things on their skin would they be looking at in the mirror that they think, oh, actually, somebody's, you know, I've been told for years I can't do anything about this. They've been buying all kinds of products and nothing works. What will they see that these treatments might be useful for?
Well, we get patients with general skin concern. So that's it's oily skin, acne-prone skin, lots of lumps and bumps, milia, they might consider it surface texture, redness to the skin, dilated blood vessels. So we've got we're a skin clinic, so we have treatments for all of these things, or we've got advice that we can give for all of these things. And I think these novel approaches with botulinum neurotoxin, and with them being as effective as they are, they add another therapeutic option for our patients. So it's just so good to be able to sit a patient down, diagnose a skin condition and say, right, we've got four treatment options, all of good effectiveness. And if a patient doesn't like lasers or doesn't want lasers, some people don't. If a patient can't use the skincare because it's drying and dehydrating the skin, you know, there's a variety of reasons why a patient might choose one treatment over another. This is a well-tolerable treatment. So I wouldn't push it above another treatment because we do have other equally effective treatments, but it's another treatment option. And a lot of patients find it a very palatable treatment option, if that's the right word, because it's one treatment.
Yeah.
It's one treatment, and then it's done for 4 months, 5 months. You don't have to keep repeating things. You don't have to put cream on the skin every day or have a laser treatment every month. So,
and a lot of our patients are used to injectables as well, aren't they? It's not completely unknown. They're used to coming in, sitting in the chair, and having injectable treatments. So it's a familiar place for them.
Exactly. I think I teach some of these very advanced procedures to a very select group of doctors and dentists and nurses who actually they've really got to know what they're doing. And the question is, you know, why? You know, how do I sell this? And I don't like that term because we don't sell. It's like, how do I explain this to a patient, or how do I get my head around the idea? How do I introduce it to my practice? Maybe that's a better way of doing it. How do I introduce this to my practice? And from a patient perspective, we can look at it from the patient side and go, well, say I'm a patient, I get neurotoxin injections 4 times a year because it gets rid of my headaches and it makes me feel much more comfortable about my appearance and improves my confidence and self-esteem, which actually it does, which is why I do it. And then to have that same treatment, same syringe, same needle, just a few different more injections, maybe treated in a slightly different way, and we can address another one of my underlying skin concerns, which I'd left because my other treatment option was microneedling, and frankly, I find that painful. I am a wuss. My patients find it absolutely fine. But for me, that's something I already know and I understand.
Yeah.
And I would be very happy to try that.
Yeah. And, you know, for me in the clinic, I love that advantage that I have of having colleagues and skin therapists with all these different expertise. And I don't feel that I'm driving a patient down one particular route. I can just give them all the information and then they can choose.
They make the decision.
Yep.
It's what's best for them.
Yeah. I think we started this conversation with a completely different topic in mind almost, and we've started talking about something else.
What were we supposed to be talking about? We're supposed to be talking about the weekend, Paula.
Oh, yeah, we started talking about work. But it's good. It's good. It's good for us and good for patients to know what's out there and what's available.
Yeah.
And what they can ask us about, and keep us on our toes as well.
You know what, I've got a couple of patients, they always come and say, go, what's new? What is happening in the world? What's the latest advances? It's nice to have answers, you know? It's nice to be able to say, well, actually, this is something that's coming our way soon.
And what I have is I have patients who are long-standing and in the clinic, the biggest part of what I do is injectables, you know, skin boosters, dermal fillers, botulinum toxin, and I like educating my patients that we can't keep doing that. We can't keep filling up faces and freezing muscles, because it's not necessarily going to make you look good. It's quick and it's effective. They see results quickly, but having the discussion about skin and how good you can feel and how healthy you can look with good skin is really the icing on the cake, isn't it?
Well, I think that takes us into part two. It's just this discussion. So let's call that a halt now, because there's another 15 minutes of chat than that,
isn't coffee.
More coffee?
More coffee.
More coffee. All right, coffee break. We'll be back with part two.